All right, what a joy to be here. If you have your Bibles, the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. I have known your pastor for many years. He's spoken in our Men's for Christ meeting, did a tremendous job. Always, he's a really good Bible preacher. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
I think it's a great thing. Amen. Now, I'm a little bit more topical. He's a tremendous expository preacher, so hope y'all won't throw me out, okay? All right, the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. And I appreciate my wife being able to come with me tonight and kind of chaperone me over here tonight. That is a good little trip. Revelation, chapter number 19. If you're able, why don't we stand? And for the reading of God's Word, the book of Revelation. Preacher didn't give me no time, but I have been just really excited. Great crowd for Wednesday night in a mission conference, and the way it all has been presented. You know, missions is the heart of God. That's what it's all about, right? It's why God gave His Son, so that the world might be saved. And look with me, if you would, at Revelation chapter number 19, the book of Revelation chapter number 19. Look at verse number 20, the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. In verse number 20, it says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a what? To a lake of fire which burneth with brimstone." Look with me at Revelation chapter 21. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My dad was an alcoholic. Nobody in my family went to church. I'm the youngest of nine. I have five older sisters, three older brothers. I'll tell you a little bit about my oldest brother who died last July. But I'm glad he was saved. I got to lead him to the Lord. And so praise the Lord for that. But I got saved. My second oldest sister, some folks was out knocking doors, got her to come to church. And she went to church and she got saved. She was a new convert. She didn't know how to lead us to Christ, but she began to invite us to church. And on a Thursday night during a revival meeting, when I was 16 years old, I got saved. Had long hair way down here past my shoulders. Y'all right? But I got saved and the Lord changed my life. That's what salvation will do for you. And I got saved, and when I was 22 years old, I surrendered to preach on a Sunday morning, and the preacher said, "That is great. I am glad you called to preach. You can preach tonight." And so I preached my first sermon that night, and they was talking about starting an independent Baptist church in Gulfport, and I said to the preacher, I said, "You know, I want to go help." And I surrendered to preach that night. Or that morning, and preached my first sermon that night, and they voted me in as the pastor. True, that's how it happened. I do not recommend all that, all right? But you know, God can do what He wants to. And I was 22 years old. I've been there now, be 36 years. And so I think I'm just going to go ahead and stay, okay? They're stuck with me now. But look at Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in" what? "In the lake which burneth with" what? "Fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Turn back to Revelation chapter number 20. The book of Revelation, chapter number 20. Book of Revelation, chapter number 20. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, "And death and hell were cast into" the what? "Lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into" what? Is that real? Is there really a lake of fire? on a Wednesday night in a mission conference. A lot of missionaries and preachers here. I would think everybody would say, well, of course, we all know that. But you know, there really is a lake of fire. And whosoever's name is not found written in the book of life, according to the Bible, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Lord, we pray for this mission conference. God, we pray you'd give us a greater vision. Lord, that our faith would be increased. God, that we'd get a greater burden. And Father, that we realize that, Lord, the lake of fire is real. And Lord, this is one of the things that motivates us. It's not the only thing that motivates us. But it's one of the things that motivates us to give, to go, to surrender our lives. Because there really is a lake of fire. And so I pray now for the next few minutes, Lord, that you would help me. God, we just pray that you'd do a work in our hearts. We really do love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for paying the price that nobody would have to go there. And Lord, I pray you'd meet with us. Well, thank you for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray and ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, just for a few minutes, if you would just walk with me. We're just going to walk right at the edge. And we're just standing right at the edge of a very unusual lake. Bible doesn't tell us how big the lake is, but the Bible does tell us how deep it is. The Bible tells us that this is the bottomless pit. There is no bottom to the lake of fire. Have you ever wondered why all these people have been cast in? Why wouldn't it ever fill up? Well, it's not going to fill up because it is bottomless. When people are cast in there, they're going to be falling for all eternity. And so if you would just walk up to me right to the edge of this lake of fire, and you and I are just standing there. And of course, you understand there's no boats in this lake. There's no fishing in this lake. There's no swimming in this lake. This is a very unusual lake, one that you and I have never seen before with our eyes. As we stand there and look across at this lake, this lake is a lake of fire. This lake is a lake of fire. And as you and I are standing, there's what you and I would call, refer to as the Great White Throne Judgment. We understand that when a person dies without Christ, they go to hell. You understand? And then they're brought out of hell, and then they're standing there at the Great White Throne, and then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And as you and I are standing there at the edge of this lake, and we're just kind of looking over, all of a sudden, maybe here comes John F. Kennedy as he's been judged at the Great White Throne Judgment, or Roosevelt, or Nixon, or whatever president that might have been the president of the United States who died without Jesus Christ. See, if you're the president of the United States, and if you're not saved, if your name is not found written in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. It will not matter who you are. You could be the president of China. You could be the president of Russia or France or Canada. It doesn't matter. If your name is not found written in the book of life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And I just want you and I just to stand here just for a moment as we watch perhaps maybe some of the presidents of America who died without Christ. Think about all the famous football players as we stand there. Maybe the Joe Montanas or the Tom Brady's or the Jerry Rice's or the Peyton Manning's as the Drew Brees's as we're standing there. Any of these famous men who played football, if they die without Jesus Christ, they will be cast into the lake of fire. It won't matter if you're the president of the United States. It won't matter if you are a famous football player. Maybe you are a famous baseball player. Maybe Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron. It won't matter if you're a famous boxer or if you were a Muhammad Ali, or if you were who my favorite boxer was when I was a kid. I used to box. My dream was to go to the Olympics one day. And I used to love boxing and kept up with it. And Joe Louis had 71 fights, I believe it was, and won like 68 of them. Held the title nearly for 10 years. Unbelievable, but died a very tragic death, broke. And but if Joe Louis' name is not found written in the book of life, my friend, he will be cast into the lake of fire. You may be a famous actor, and I don't know a lot of famous actors. Brother Kendrick helped me out with this, and he keeps up with all that. And I'm just kidding there, preacher. But anyway, you could be, you know, a Tom Cruise or this fellow by the name of Rock. I don't really know him. Haven't never met him. But listen, if your name is not found written in the book of life, it won't matter if you're the president. It won't matter if you're a football player. It won't matter if you are a boxer or if you're an actor or if you're a Michael Jackson. Or if you were one of the Beatles. Somebody, I don't know a lot of the new people. I had to go way back there. Won't matter if you're a Bill Gates. But as you and I stand here, and people are being cast into the lake, whether it's one of the presidents of China or Russia, and you and I are standing there, and I will just imagine it as people are being cast into the lake of fire, there's this one thought that really runs through my mind. As I'm standing there and watching, you know, say John F. Kennedy or Roosevelt or Nixon, Reagan, whoever it might be, you know, I hope our president is saved. Can I get a witness? I don't want anybody to go to this place. But if his name is not found written in the book of life, whether it's a Peyton Manning or Joe Montana, or you could be an NBA a basketball player, it won't matter. If your name is not found written in the book of life, now I just want you to imagine, as that person who you and I in our day would say, you know, that's a famous person, that was a rich person, that was a very well-known person, as that person is cast into the lake of fire, and as they enter into the lake of fire, into outer darkness for all eternity, and as they're going to be fallen forever, never able to see another human being for eternity, this is one thought I have, is now what matters? Now what matters? Now what matters? You're the president of the United States. You was a president of China or Russia. Or you was a famous football player. Or you was a famous boxer. Or you was a famous actor or a famous singer. Or you was very wealthy and lived in a big mansion. But as you enter into this lake of fire, now what matters? You know, there's but three things, or one day they're going to really matter when it comes to life. Just three things, and I'm going to give them to you. One day it's not going to matter how famous you were. One day it's not going to matter how rich you were. My friend, one day there's but three things in life are really going to matter one day. As we're watching people being cast in the lake of fire, we ain't going to be talking about how much money they had. We're not going to be talking about, you know, how famous they were and how many touchdowns they made or basketball scores they made. Only three things are going to matter one day. Number one, was you saved? Was you saved? You may not be excited that you're saved tonight, but when you're watching folks being cast into that lake of fire, I am telling you, you're going to be glad that there was a time in your life that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what's going to matter one day? Were you saved? As I said earlier, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. But man, I'm glad some 42 years ago on a Thursday night in an old-fashioned revival meeting, my friend, that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to heaven because I'm an independent Baptist. I'm not going to heaven because I'm King James only. I'm going to heaven because there was a time in my life I realized I was lost on my way to hell and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I just say quickly, you know, to go to heaven, everybody must be saved. Everybody must be saved. Those in Australia must be saved. Those in Vietnam must be saved. Those in China must be saved. Those in Russia must be saved. You do not go to heaven because you're from Vietnam. You don't go to heaven because you're from Australia. You don't go to heaven because you're from America. You don't go to heaven because you're from Florida. You go to heaven because you've received Jesus Christ. Everybody must be saved. Jesus said it this way, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. May I say number two, I believe everyone can be saved. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am glad that God specializes in saving sinners. And my friend Paul said he was the chief. Are you with me tonight? And I am glad that Jesus saves sinners. I believe any sinner walk down an aisle, my friend, and realize he is lost on his way to hell, repent of his sin, put his faith in Jesus Christ, he can be saved. May I say number three, everybody is saved the same way. Now, if we were to have testimonies tonight, you know, we just took a little time here and gave testimonies. You grew up in a preacher's home and, you know, you probably got saved young, you know. I didn't grow up in a preacher's home and, you know, we'd have different testimonies of different ages and, you know, Paul was riding a horse when he got saved and Zacchaeus was up a tree when he got saved. Boy, a lady was at a well when she got saved and Philippian jailer was in jail there when he got saved and my friend, we could go through the Bible and we can see all these different circumstances and situations when people got saved, but everybody got saved the same way, and that is through Jesus Christ. It's out knocking some doors and this lady came to the door. Me and a man in the church, he was with me and I said, hello, we're just out in Faith Baptist Church and we're just out inviting folks and we'd love to have you. She said, well, I go to such and such church. I said, well, we're not here, you know, to steal you from your church. Because the main thing, do you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven? She looked at me and said, oh, yeah, I know that, not a doubt. I said, well, man, wonderful. You know, I've knocked quite a few doors. And I just haven't met a whole lot of people that are just so sure they're going to heaven like you are. If you don't mind, just tell me about it. She said, oh, I'll be glad to tell you. She said, you see that couch over there? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I was laying on that couch. And she said, all of a sudden, I began to float. And she said, I floated in the air. And she said, all of a sudden, she said, you see that wall right there? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I floated. And half of my body went on one side of the wall. And half of my body was on this side. And she said, I just stayed there for a few minutes and I was floating. And she said, all of a sudden, I floated back down on that couch. And she looked at me and she said, I know I'm saved. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to fuss with you. But I really have read the Bible some. But I have never read one time in the Bible where it says, if thou shalt float, thou shalt be saved. Hello, help me out now. You say, hey, you're not saved by floating. You're not saved by joining the church. You're not saved by getting baptized. You're not saved by speaking in tongues. You're only saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He said, come on, is he serious? I mean, this is Wednesday night. This is a mission conference. I'm just saying tonight, you got to be saved to go to heaven. And everybody in this room is saved. We all got saved the same way. That's through Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? And so one day, you know what's going to matter? Now, me and you won't be judged at the great white throne, but we will be there. Because the Bible says when the rapture comes, so shall you ever be with the Lord. We will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. The lost will not be there. But when the lost are judged, I believe the saved will be there. We'll be as the jury. And we'll be watching folks as they're being cast into the lake of fire. And if you are there and you're watching all of this, you're going to say, boy, I'm glad I was saved. One day, but three things are going to matter. Number one, it doesn't matter how rich you were, how famous you were, what your last name was, how much money you had in the bank. Number one, was you saved? Number two, the second thing that's going to matter was your family saved? Was your family saved? Go with me if you would. Just don't have the time tonight, but go to the book of Joshua chapter 2. The book of Joshua, chapter number 2. Y'all still with me tonight? Don't get all tied up on me now, okay? Don't just go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 2. I'm talking about now what matters. Now what matters is we're watching people being cast into the lake of fire. Number one, was you saved? Was you saved? Number two, was your family saved? You know the story in the book of Joshua, chapter 2, there was the two spies that went in, and they kind of scoped out the situation. They stayed at this lady's house. Her name was Rahab. We know her in the Bible as Rahab the harlot. And here in the book of Joshua, chapter 2, my friend Rahab kind of made a deal with these two spies. She said, "Now, I've been good to y'all, and I didn't, you know, spoil your hiding place. And I could have told on you guys and had you killed, but I saved your life." Are y'all with me? Look in Joshua chapter number 2, the book of Joshua chapter 2. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 9. "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you." Hey, we have heard. You know, Rahab is there in Hebrews 11. She got saved by faith too. "When ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Shion and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard, had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you swear to me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that I have, and deliver our lives from there." Here is a woman, my friend, who was a harlot, but what is she concerned about? She's concerned about her family. She's got a mama, she's got a daddy, she's got brothers, she's got sisters, she's got uncles and aunts. That is a mission field. Your family is a mission field. And so she said, "Now I've been good to y'all, I've showed y'all kindness, and I know God is going to destroy this place, but I want you to remember." And you know the story. They said, "You take that scarlet thread," and she was behind the blood. Well, y'all didn't get that? Come on now. The scarlet thread, everybody behind that was safe. Goodness gracious. Look at Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter 6. We've got to get some more Bible preaching going around this place. Y'all got to be catching on to that stuff. You make my sermon too long. Look in Joshua chapter 6. You remember the story. Everybody behind that scarlet thread was safe, right? If you went behind that thread, that scarlet thread, you were toast. Slang for Mississippi is mean you're dead. Look in Joshua chapter number 6, verse 22. "But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath. Ye swear unto her." The young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and brought out else. Who else? Her father and who? Her mother and her who? Her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left, brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. We have lost our burden for our families. We need a burden, my friend, for our own families to be saved. If your family is not saved, they'll be cast in the lake of fire. Look at verse 24. "And they burnt the city with fire. And all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, and put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had." All her family got saved. All right, this is a type or a picture of it. She got her mama there. She got her daddy there. She got her brothers there. When those walls were tumbling, them walls were falling, they was cutting heads off and stabbing and killing everything that moved. My friend, when the city was on burn, over here was Rahab the harlot, her mom and daddy, with tears running down their face, saying, "Lord, we could be in that fire, but man, I am glad we are not in that fire. I'm glad my mama's here, my daddy's here, my brother's here, my sister's here. I'm glad all my family's here." My second older sister got saved, and she came over and began to invite us to church, and we began to go, and one Sunday morning, the preacher, you know Bill Reddick, Brother Floyd, you preached for Brother Reddick. And you remember Brother Reddick, that's where I got saved. But on a Sunday morning, Bill Reddick said, I want all the Carr family to stand. The Carr family. When I point at you, I want you to stand. Would you do that for me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. It's Carr family, Sunday morning. That's who had gotten saved. Carr family. Y'all with me? Y'all be seated. Up to that point, my daddy hadn't gotten saved. So, preacher, I know some may be against him for him, but there was a preacher coming. His name was Carl Hatch. Carl Hatch, he was coming. He was a drunkard when he got had a powerful testimony how he got saved. Well, we thought we'd get daddy there on Sunday morning, maybe daddy get saved. So we met at the house. I was still living there. I was just a teenager. But a lot of my other brothers and sisters were married. And so we all met at the house at 8 o'clock Sunday morning. So my oldest brother went to the back and asked my dad if he'd come to church to hear this preacher. He's going to give his testimony. And my dad said, no, I don't feel good. My dad had a hangover. Slang. You know what that means. Dad said, I don't feel good. I ain't coming. My oldest brother came into the living room and he said, Daddy ain't coming. He said he don't feel good. We all started crying. I was a teenager. I was on my knees crying. I want my daddy to come and get saved. I didn't want my daddy to be cast in the lake of fire. Mama got saved. A lot of my brothers and sisters, not all of them, but a lot of them have gotten saved. That Sunday morning, we went on to church. Normally I'd sit with the teenagers. But that Sunday morning, I sat in the middle section, about the fourth pew from the front. I kept looking back, hoping Daddy would come. And about 2 minutes after 11, he walked in with my mom. Are y'all with me? My daddy got saved that morning. I preached the funeral. That's what helped me get through it. Because one day it ain't going to matter how much money you got. Was I in the will? Did they leave me any money? One day the only thing that's going to matter, my friend, was you saved and was your family saved. All my brothers and sisters got saved, but I had one sister, stubborn, hard-headed. Y'all supposed to say amen, Dad. She wouldn't get saved. She didn't believe all this stuff. She was, you know, she wasn't wealthy, but she wasn't a doctor, but right there underneath the doctor. Beautiful home, and her husband retired at Army. He was an E-9, had another job, and retired from that. So they got this check in, this check coming in. She's working at the hospital. They got money. They got everything. You understand what I'm saying? She, yeah, I'm not interested. Sweet, loves me, respects me, witnessed to her several times. So my brother, my oldest brother, he got cancer. And he was dying. And so, on my sister's, where she worked at, her and her friend were walking on their lunch break. And this other lady came up and was talking to my sister's friend. They were just talking. My sister was standing there. And this lady said, I'm going to go to Israel. Our church is going to go. And my sister said, I like to go. And we've been praying for her to be saved. That song y'all sang a while ago, starting off. We prayed for her for 30-something years to get saved. 30-something years. And so my sister said, I'd like to go to Israel. And the lady looked at her and said, well, I didn't know you was religious. She said, well, I'm not, but you don't have to be religious to go to Israel, do you? And the lady said, well, I suppose not. She said, well, we only can bring 20. If we don't have 20, we'll see if the preacher lets you go. And so they only had 15. And so you could go. So my sister said, I'm going to go to Israel. She went. She went to go to the Wailing Wall to put a prayer request for my brother who was dying with cancer. You connecting the dots? She gets to the Wailing Wall, and as she's visiting these sites, something's happening on the inside. And she starts going, "This is real. This is real." And at the Wailing Wall, under Holy Ghost, Bible, listen to me, conviction, she began to weep and she began to cry and cried out to the Lord to save her. Amen. You say, did she get it? Oh, I think she did. Because, buddy, is she? Hey, I gave her a little discipleship book. She did it one night. She's been coming to church. She's growing leaps and bounds. I really believe the Lord used my brother's death to tender her heart, to get her saved. The last two Sundays, her husband's been coming to church. He ain't never come in 30-something years. You talk about changing your messages. This is the truth, Brother Karen. If you told it, I probably wouldn't believe it. But I'm just kidding. Now listen to me. My brother-in-law's coming. I have no idea he's coming. No idea. No idea. You know what? He's a retired military man. You know who I'm preaching on? Naaman the leper. You see, y'all ain't reading your Bible. Naaman the leper, man. This man had everything. He was valiant. He was a warrior. But he was a leper. Hello? He ain't got saved yet, but boy, my sister's testimony's working on him. You pray for him. His name's Larry. I pray he gets saved. Are y'all with me? Sunday morning. Sunday morning. I'm standing there after Sunday school, just kind of saying hi to folks. There's a lady. Her name is Constant. Constant. A few weeks earlier, Constant had called me. I was on I-10 going east. She called and said, "Preacher, the doctor just left only 10. She's only in her 20, like 27. The doctor said only 10% of my heart is working. Just left." I said, "I'll be right there. I'm so sorry." Went to the hospital. She's crying. "So I need a heart transplant." She's 20, like 27 years old. Got 3 kids. "I need a heart transplant." I said, "I'm so sorry." So we prayed, and I never forget, she said, "Preacher, if it means God taking my life for my family to get saved, that would be worth it." You know, we say stuff like that, right? So I didn't think a lot about it, really. I thought, well, that's sweet. And I prayed. You know how you do. You pray, and you go on. Sunday morning, between Sunday school and church, She's at a distance from me, not too far. But she waves and I wave. She goes in the auditorium. I'm greeting folks, shaking hands. We have church. Sunday's over. People go home. About 3 o'clock, a lady in the church calls and said, "Has anybody called you, preacher? Constant has died." I said, "Do what?" "She was just at church a while ago. She's died." I said, "Where's she at?" "She's at Memorial Hospital." I go to Memorial Hospital, get there, go to the emergency room. Nobody's there. I think that's odd. So I asked the name. Her name is Constant Blakely. I said, "Y'all have a Constant Blakely?" They look, "No, we don't have nobody by that name." I called the lady in the church that called me. I said, "Constant, she's not here. Maybe you're mistaken." "Oh, no, preacher. I told you the wrong hospital. She's at Garden Park." So I go to Garden Park, and sure enough, when I get there, a lot of her family's on the outside. As I begin to walk toward the emergency room, one of her aunts comes to me. She's just a bawling. We hug. I go on into the emergency room there, and there she is laying on the table. There's her mama, her stepdad. Her two brothers are in the room. They're just walking back and forth like a caged lion. And I just look at her on that table, and I think about remembering what she said. Boy, if the Lord took my life, my family would get saved. We had the funeral. Mama got saved. Daddy got saved. When our brothers got saved. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Oh, I could keep you here all night. I'm just saying one that the day is going to come. What I'm preaching to you about is going to happen. It's recorded in the Bible. Whosoever's name is not found written in the book of life, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And as you and I stand there, we're watching one after one go into that lake of fire. You know what's going to matter? I said but three things. Number one, was you saved? Number two, was your family saved? I don't know about you. I want all my family there. And then number three, were others saved? Were others saved? This is why you need to walk with God. Remember Lot? Lot did not walk with God. And Lot went to warn his son-in-laws and says, look, get out of here. God's going to burn this place down. And he seen there's one that mocked. They didn't take him serious. Lot was safe. You know that. It's recorded in the Bible, right? But Lot's son-in-law's probably in hell right now. This is why you need to walk with God. This is why you and I need to be surrendered to the will of God. Why? Because people need to be saved. Aren't you glad the pastor has surrendered his life and God has brought him to Milton, Florida, and this is where he's here? I love the way you introduced the conference. That wonderful idea. And how God brought you here. But what if your pastor had not surrendered his life? Well, maybe God could have or would have gotten somebody else. But God had him to come to here. And he surrendered his life. And God has something for you to do. We need Sunday school teachers. We need door knockers and soul winners. This is why we need to surrender to the will of God. I'm glad that Jesus prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. Hudson Taylor surrendered to the will of God. And C.T. Studd, so many others surrendered their lives to go to the mission field. This is why you need to, my friend, to deal with sin in your life. This is why we need to forgive one another. This is why we need to deal with our pride and our stubborn. He said, this is a mission conference. Did the preacher tell you this is a mission conference? Yeah, he did. Yes. But this is why, my friend, we need to deal with sin in our lives. Why? Because we don't want the Spirit of God quenching greed. We want God to work in our churches. We need revival. But we're not going to have it if we have unforgiveness and we're stubborn and we're selfish. And life is all about ourselves. Why? Because there's a lake of fire. And whoever name is not written in that book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. This is why we need to serve the Lord. This is why we need to, my friend, get involved in your church. We need people to clean the buildings and mow the grass. Watch the nursery. I've often said to my church, I've done everything, but watch the nursery. My wife is the nursery director, has been for years. Boy, she's tough. I thought about it Sunday or two, so I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to go preach and watch the nursery at the same time. That'd be a disaster. Thank God for people who surrender to helping the nursery. Are y'all with me? Everybody can do something. Why? We are a team. What are we trying to do? We want to give, but we don't want to just give money. We want to give our life and our time. Why? We want to reach this community so this church can grow, that it would be healthy to continue to get people to tithe and give to missions. I know God can take five loaves of bread and two fish and feed the multitude. What can He do with 10 fish? He could do it with one. You know that. But you get the point, I hope. This is why we need to support missionaries. Are y'all still with me? This is why we need to go sowing and knock doors. Why? Because one day, you know what's going to matter? It ain't going to matter how famous you were. It ain't going to matter how big your boat was and how big the deer was and how big the fish was. What's going to matter? Was you saved? Was your family saved? And what's others say? This is why we don't need to quit. We don't need to get offended. Well, I didn't get to sing in the mission conference. I can sing better than she can. But But that attitude, it may be why the Lord ain't letting you sing. Hello? We don't need to quit. But what about a quit? Prayed for our sister for 30-something years. You didn't get that 30-something years. I'm glad I got to baptize. I want to say, we've been praying for you a long time. I am holding you down for a long time. I baptized me my sister. You know how great a night that was to know that she had gotten saved. She's coming to church and she's growing. She's loving it. You don't need to quit. You missionaries don't need to quit. You think you're going to go to the mission field and everybody's going to go, "Woo, I'm so glad you're here. Yay!" And you're going to fill your church up. There are going to be people. The devil's going to attack you. He's going to throw everything in the world at you. Since I've been at our church, I am telling you, all of hell is broken loose over and over and over and over again. But that's where God called me and that's where God put me. And by His grace, I want to stay and finish right. I don't want to be bitter and mad. Hello. I want to enjoy the trip. You still with me? Go to Revelation chapter 21 where we finish. Revelation chapter 21. The book of Revelation, quickly. Revelation 21 and verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Well, why are they crying? Because of what they just saw. Can you imagine watching a loved one to be cast in the lake of fire, never to see them again? It's going to take God to wipe away the tears. As we stand there watching these folks being cast into the lake of fire, we may be saying, "Boy, I wish I'd have did more for the Lord. I wish I'd have given more. I wish I'd have surrendered more. I wish I'd have been more for the Lord." You're not going to regret serving God. You're never going to regret investing in souls. Because one day, that's all that's going to matter. You get what I'm saying? One day, that's all that's going to matter. As people are being cast in the lake of fire, well, he was the president of the United States. But billions and billions and trillions of years from now, he'll still be fallen. Well, he was the richest man. That was so-and-so, that football player. That was so-and-so. But they'll be falling forever and forever in the lake of fire. It ain't going to matter how many points they made in the basketball game. It's not going to matter who won the Super Bowl. It's not going to matter. What's going to matter? Was you saved? Was your family saved? And were others saved? Jesus said it this way. What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? So what that tells me, one soul is worth more than the whole world. So you think, well, I only had one saved. Are you with me? That's worth more than the world. Now what matters? Now what matters? Was you saved? Was your family saved? Your father saved? We've kind of lost this burden. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come here with rejoicing. You know, we're just kind of getting mechanical. We've heard all of this, heard it down there, got the t-shirt, been there, heard all those kind of sermons. Man, he's preaching kind of long, ain't he? Hello. I'm not saying that's here. I'm just saying that's kind of the average. May the Lord help us to realize what I preached tonight will happen. The books will be open. There will be a roll call. And whoever's name's not in that book, they will be cast into the lake of fire. And we that are saved, we will be there. And we will see it and watch it
as that person, because I believe that there'll be angels casting them. They'll be screaming, hollering, begging. The angels swoop down, grab them, chunk them in that lake of fire. They're rolling through there as you take a rock and throw it. And they're tumbling and going in the air. And they go in that lake to never be seen again. Forever. This is why this is so important. Preaching, praying, missions, knocking doors, ministry. The devil fights us so hard. He tries to discourage, tries to get us to quit. We got to stay with it.
Yep.
Stay with it.
Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes